Do you want a visual experience to the show? Go check out the Down to the Wire YouTube channel to enjoy full episodes of Down to the Wire. That is the YouTube channel Down to the Wire to watch and listen to full episode content. Hello all, Jacob Morgans here from the podcast Down to the Wire. Go visit the social media page for this podcast on Instagram to get content from latest episodes, news around the sports world, and my thoughts on recent sports events. Just type in official Down to the Wire, all in one word, into the search bar to visit the page. That's official Down to the Wire, all in one word, to visit the page. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 3, Episode 3 of the Down the Wire podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Morgans, with former minor league baseball player Kervin Mosquite out of Curacao. Thank you for joining the show, man.
Yes, sir. No problem.
Okay, so where did your love of baseball come from or originate? I know that Curacao has produced a ton of baseball players to the show. So what was it?
I would say it actually started with my dad. My dad played baseball, soccer, softball, it's whatever. And my older brother, he also played baseball. So whatever I saw them doing, I wanted to be just like them. So that's when it started.
You represented the Curacao team, it looked like, in the Little League World Series back in 07. How was that experience for you? I know Cody Bellinger played in that same Little League World Series. So what was it like for you being on that international stage at such a young age?
Now that I look back at it, it's a pretty cool achievement. I don't know about big. I mean, it is big, but thinking back at it, during that time, like in the moment, you don't even think about it. You don't think about the 10,000, the 20,000 people watching. You just play a game. It's not that big of a deal. But now that you go back on it, it's like it was a pretty cool thing.
I saw a couple of clips of what looked like you pitching in that Little League World Series. I get some mixed answers with this type of question, but did you like the pitch, or did it feel more like a, hey, I can do it, and it's kind of like, I don't know, an obligation to do it for the team?
No, I was actually the catcher. I was not the pitcher. I was actually the catcher.
Oh, okay.
So number 10, so that's who I was.
Okay, so you were gunning people down trying to steal bases.
Exactly. There you go.
Was that your favorite position to play?
You know, the crazy thing is, I grew up playing like the infield, and like, let's say like 2 years before, I remember it clearly, like my brother was like, you know, there, we don't have, you guys don't have like a good catcher. So I'm going to go at it, and you know, me and you're going to practice. He's like 4 years older than me. And he was like, yo, we're going to practice receiving, blocking. And we were just one-on-one, like, you know, in the backyard. And that's when I started catching. And I was decent at it. So I was like, okay, so I guess I'm a catcher now during that time.
Yeah. No, I get you. yeah. I remember in my Little League days and my Junior League days that playing catcher was something I was never, like, comfortable of doing. Only because you wear all that gear and then the toll it takes on your legs. Did you ever have those same problems, or did you discover those kind of like same issues when you're trying to figure out if you catcher or not?
Yeah, when I started, yeah, it takes a pretty big toll on your, because I'm squatting like 2.5 hours compared to just, you know, just walking around in the infield. And catcher, you got to, every pitcher, you have to be in the game. It's like you don't have a choice. You can't be like, you know what, I'm gonna take this pitch out. You can't, because you control the game pretty much. That's what I liked about it. I control the game. I block, so it's like a trust thing with the pitcher. So I like that side of the game.
When did you realize the infield was for you, like playing on the infield?
You know, when, you know, the funny thing, when I realized like there were no like short catchers in the major leagues.
Yeah.
So I'm like 5'9", 5'8". So I was like, yo, if I want to like get my best chance to make it to the big leagues, I would have to switch position. I'm pretty fast, so a fast catcher is not really useful to my tools. So I started playing second base, shortstop. So that's when I moved to America when I was like 13, 14. It was right after the junior league. That's when I was playing shortstop with the junior league with the Curacao team. We went to Taylor, Michigan. We actually won that tournament. And from there, after that year, I moved to America, to Florida. That's when I started playing center field because my brother was the shortstop in the high school. So that's where, after he left, I was straight shortstop for straight, I was shortstop and pitcher for my high school team.
Right on, right on. So you, after your high school, you attended Seminole State College, it looks like, in Sanford, Florida. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So what was going on over there? I couldn't really get much information out of that. Were you playing ball, getting your education done? What was going on over there?
The funny thing is, because it goes back a few years. Because like my senior year when in high school, I was supposed to get drafted. I was a pretty good prospect. I was committed to Miami, University of Miami, and I was playing soccer too. While I was playing soccer my senior year, I tore my meniscus. This was like 2 months before the draft,
Okay.
and I was like, screw it. I was just draining. It was swollen the whole time. I was just draining it, and then just playing through it. And then, I would say like a week before the draft, I was like, you know what? I don't want to start my pro career with a bad knee. So then I was driving around Florida, my travel team. I didn't want to go to Miami because that's 3 years at least of college. I was not a fan of that. So I was just driving. I was talking to my Richie Palmer, he was my elite squad, my head coach or my manager. And I was telling him, I was like, yo, do you have any teams? And he talked to a few teams, a few colleges. Then Seminole State College was the first team I drove to, first school I drove to. They were like, okay, we got a good scholarship, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you know what? Just get us going. Then the first team, first school I visit, I signed the same day. And then, yeah, I still got drafted, but I knew I wasn't gonna take, I didn't wanna start like that, but. Yeah, that's how I ended up at Seminole.
Oh, that's funny. Very interesting there. So,
Yeah,
but
man.
yes, you mentioned you did get drafted. You got drafted by the Baltimore Orioles back in 17. Kind of like describe how that moment felt for you when you got the call.
Let me, because I got drafted in high school too, my senior year. That's what that was like a we because draft is like. It's not, nothing is guaranteed in the draft. What you see, like how you see it in the movies and stuff like that, is just boom all over the place, people who shifting. So let me tell you, my draft year for with the Orioles, I was with my mom at the hotel. It was draft day. It was kind of nervous because you don't know what round, you don't know anything. So I get a call from the Giants, and they were like, "Hey, Kervin, this is blah 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 from the Giants. What do you think about going for like 50?" I was like, "No, I would rather go to college for that if that's." And then the Orioles called me. He was like, "It was Kelvin Colon. He's a great guy." He called me. He was like, "Yo, I know you're better than this, but all we can do is offer you 100." And I was like, if I get 100, I was telling him, I was like, if I get 100, I was my own agent. I didn't have any agents, so I was negotiating my own contract. So I was like, okay, I'll take 100,000, but I don't want to start in the rookie league. I want to start straight out to like the short season. It's like a advanced rookie. So I was like, and he was like, okay, that's fine. Bet. He comes to the hotel, we sign, and yeah, that was pretty exciting.
You did mention your mom in that little explanation. I saw something on Facebook that looked like your mom flew in from Curacao and surprised you during one of your minor league games. If that's accurate, what was that experience like for you?
Oh yeah, it was very, that was very surprising because I was playing, and I think I would say it was mid-season or right after the season, right after All-Star break. So I haven't seen her for like 2 or 3 months or 4 months or something like that, and I talked to her a lot. We talk all the time, and then she hasn't talked to me like before game. You get to the field at 2. I text her. I go hit. Then she says something. She hasn't talked to me all day. I was like, that's weird. Maybe she's just busy. I didn't worry about it. And I was sitting in the locker room, and they were like, "Yo, Kervin, there's someone here to see you." I'm like, "Someone here to see me for what?" I was playing pretty good, but it like nothing made sense. I had a girlfriend, but I broke up. We broke up, and then so I was like, "There's no reason anyone could be here for me." And then she was hiding behind the poster that you see that she had. And then yeah, it was a good timing. It was great timing from her side.
Yeah, no, that looked like it was an awesome moment for you. Because I
Exactly.
know the minor league baseball kind of like social media account posted that, so I thought that was very cool. This is a bit of
Exactly.
a tough question, but looking at your numbers statistically, it looked like you couldn't get over the hump that would take you from the minor league system to possibly playing in the show. Baseball's a very mental game and it can get to you very fast. So when adversity hits you real hard, what was your go-to move, or what would be that thing that you would do when things weren't necessarily going your way?
I would say base, man, I did not get, I was, I'm a very happy guy. So when I went 0-4, I was happy. When I went 4-for-4, I was happy. I was never the type of player that would, like, baseball never defined how I treat other people or define my mood. So that's what I would suggest to any player, because in baseball, you fail a lot. Like, if you're gonna let your game define you, you're gonna treat a lot of people really bad. No one wants to be around you. So I was not that type of player. So I was just happy the whole time. I could go 4-for-4. Same guy if I went 0-for-4. So that's how I dealt with my baseball career.
Kind of a random question, but what's with the Tigers hat you got going on right there?
I thought I just got it. My bro, it's a good friend of mine, like a family guy. Jonathan Scope plays for the Tigers. I went to
Yes,
watch
we
him
all
for a
know.
long
Yep,
time.
yep.
So yeah, I got this hat, and my hair is just like, if you can see, it's not done. So I just grabbed something real quick and put it on.
So looks like you have all these connections, 'cause funny story, when I reached out to you and texted you about this, kind of like, can you be my guest speaker on my podcast? You thought I was texting someone connected or on like the Padres organization or staff. And I was like, no. I saw that you followed me and it was this verified account. I was like, who the frick is this? And then I Googled you. I was like, oh damn, this guy like played baseball. And I was like, let's see if he can be on the show. But you did mention in that text message back to me that you were close with Jerks and Profar, and we have a lot of Padre fans who listen to my show, and I was just wondering if you could describe kind of like that close friendship that you guys have and what kind of person he is.
It's he's a great person, man. He's the nicest guy. He's very nice, very humble. Once you get to know him, it's just like you see on the field. He's always smiling, and in real life, he's just like that. He can go 0-for-3, 0-for-4. You can talk to him like he doesn't. You know what I'm saying? It's not a
Yeah.
he doesn't let baseball define him. But he's a very good person, man. He's a great guy. I was staying with him in San Diego for a while this past year. And he loved it, man. He loves San Diego. So, I know the free agency is like up in the air, but we don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what's gonna happen, but San Diego is he loves San Diego. That's all I can say.
How often do you guys text each other or contact each other?
Very I he probably texted me, let me tell you, he like 8 minutes ago. He let me oh, this is right here.
Oh,
Like 8 minutes
wow.
ago, yeah, we play video games against each other, so it's like we talk all the time.
What kind of games
Like
do you guys play?
we used to play Warzone a lot, man, Verdansk, but the new Call of Duty, we haven't played it, but now we're just playing FIFA 22 Pro Clubs all the time.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yes.
I know I asked you like where you when did you where what was that thing that kind of like you where you fell in love with baseball, but did you ever have like that who was that motivator that kind of kept you going when it looked like maybe you didn't want to do it anymore, or maybe you want to try something else, or things weren't going your way? Who's that motivator that kind of pushed you to like, hey, keep working at your baseball craft and talent?
I would say my mom, man. My mom, my brother. My dad, I talk to my dad too, but he's more like laid back. But my mom and my brother, they're always there for me. Like they know I don't like, cause when I used to play, when I play pro, it's baseball all day. So you go to the field at 1:30, you get out at 11 with after the game. Like after the game, you don't want to talk about baseball again. And they know that. They knew that, so they never talked about baseball unless I brought it up. So I appreciated that a lot. They always told me to just work hard, like no matter what. I appreciate them a lot for that.
How many, okay, I just want to ask this now. How many
Oh, go ahead, go
people,
ahead.
how many people, that you have like close contacts or friendships with that we probably all know that made it up as a Curacao professional ball player? Because th this is very, very fascinating. I think people want to know more about it. You did mention Jonathan Scope.
Yeah, he's also I he just texted me, like, let me see, he just texted me 7:37, so for me that's 20 minutes ago. Like I talked to a lot, DD, I've like we're
Wow.
cool. I'm not close to him, but we say hi, we talk to each other. Simmons, he used to play FIFA with us.
Okay.
Albies, I see him, I say hi to him.
Wow.
Let me see who else. Canley, I don't talk to him much, but my dad coached him when he was younger, but I don't have a lot of contact with him. Who else we got?
You ever play with Kenley?
No, he's way older than me. He's like,
Oh, okay.
yeah, it's different. The age difference is way out there. Who else? I don't know if you know Jair Durden. He used to
I've
play
heard
for
the
the
name.
Braves.
I've heard the
Yeah,
name.
yeah. I talk to him sometimes. Who else? Right, that's about it. I'm cool with Machado, Hosmer, whatever on Instagram. Whenever they see something cool, they talk to me. But yeah, I mean, I talk to a lot of those guys. They're pretty cool guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So what is it that you're doing now? You're back home at Curacao. What's going on over there?
Yeah, Curacao, just I play video
Besides
games.
playing
I work.
video games with Jerks and Profar.
I work. I work out a lot on my Instagram. I show out. I work out a lot. I eat well. And once the season starts, I'm probably gonna go up with Profar or Scope and just chill with them and see how it goes. But yeah, that's all I do. There's a lot going on in Curacao. The partying, the beach, man. It's very nice. I know. Yeah, it's very nice down here.
You mentioned FIFA. Do you ever watch the World Cup the past couple of weeks?
Yes, I watch almost every game. Almost every game. It was very great. It was very entertaining. It was a very good tournament. It was very entertaining.
Now, would you say what would be like the sport that maybe you would have played more if it wasn't baseball? Would it be soccer?
Soccer,
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, I would say sometimes I'm like, because of my height, because of all of that, I say I should probably be a soccer player over a baseball player.
Well, you got to run well, and you said you ran well.
Exactly.
Kind of numbers are we looking at in terms of that speed?
I don't know. I don't know why I stole. I think I stole 49 or 49 bags in Delmarva. That was my single A year.
Okay.
So I think I was third in the minor leagues that whole year. So I think I was okay.
All right. What did you think of that World Cup final, though? Argentina and France.
Like after that game, I wasn't, my team was Brazil or Portugal, so
Oh, jeez.
I didn't have anybody to win. But after that game, I didn't care who won because I was already entertained enough. So I was like, whoever won deserved it after 120 minutes. So it is what it is.
Kervin Mosquit, former minor league ball player, got drafted by the Orioles, from Curacao, played in the Little League World Series. Go have fun. Playing video games with professional ball players that we all love.
For sure, for sure.
Thank you for doing this, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for today. Catch our next episode. It will be coming soon. Had a great show today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for the support. And we'll see you next time on Down to the Wire.